That's why. Yeah, I need a motion to approve tonight's meeting agenda, or amend it if so desired.
So move.
Second.
Okay, any changes? None, all those in favor of leaving it like it is, say aye.
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 No public hearings, no bid awards. Is there any visitors? There isn't any visitors, but views related to tonight's agenda. And we'll move to the next item. Visitors' views unrelated to items on the agenda, and there's no one in the audience, so. On board, commission, and committee reports, nothing there. No items on the consent agenda, and report of other officers, the mayor's report. We're now seeking letters of interest only for two vacant seats on the hospital board. So anybody, if there's anybody interested, submit your letters of interest to the borough clerk, and it can be emailed to dthompson@petersburgak.gov or mailed to box 329 in Petersburg, zip code 99833, or drop by the borough office at 15 North 12th Street. Next item on the mayor's report is Historic Preservation Commission. There was two seats are going to expire then December of 31st of 2016. Lowell Wallen has submitted a letter of interest, so I'd like to just appoint her if there's no, didn't she did submit a letter, right? So be on there, and then assembly member seat currently held by Jay Stanton Greger. Assembly member Stanton Greger is unable to continue membership on the commission, so we need to appoint a new assembly member to the seat, which has a 3-year term that will expire December 31st of 2019. So is there anybody interested in assembly for that seat? It might remain vacant if there are on that, Jay. Debbie, do you know?
I think we had 5, is that correct?
I believe there's 5 right now, but there's 2 empty seats.
Right. But, oh, there's 2, and even if Glow signs back up, or, oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
One other thing, how often do they meet?
I don't know, Jay.
As needed.
Oh, as needed?
When they want to.
Over the last 2 years, it's been about once every 8 to 9 months, ish.
I have to ask for permission.
Okay. Well, we'll just leave it at that. We can have it on the next mayor's report is all. Clausen Museum representative seat currently held by Gloria Ann Wallen. Oh, nope. Put her letter in. Oh, that's... She has a letter in to serve for that 3-year term. In addition, the commission still has a vacancy in the planning commission representative seat. Letter of interest may be submitted to the borough clerk as outlined earlier with that address and email. We had a meeting in Kettleman last week, the SEPA board did, and we voted to give the rebate, and we get a little over $200,000 for Petersburg, and Ketchikan and Wrangell will also receive money. Pretty interesting meeting. I had to ask the clerk to print off a couple pictures that were in the packet, and just shows pictures of the dam raise. It's pretty interesting. They actually had water up on the new spillway or new flashboards and the gate that regulates the lake level, and it didn't leak. They held, you know, and it's pretty interesting. One of the pictures that I kind of like shows the first spill through the new spillway. So maybe by this time next year it'll be full, and benefiting from that 25% capacity. I'd like to recognize Joe Nelson. I should have asked him to be here, but he was recognized at the SEPA board meeting. He got a couple of pretty nice gifts.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on there a long time, but I'd like to recognize Joe for our power and light superintendent. He served on the Thomas Bay Power Commission from the date of his hire, March 1st, 2003, until its dissolution in early 2015. Mr. Nelson was appointed to the Four Dam Pool Agency in April of 2003 and served until the Four Dam Pool became the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. Mr. Nelson was then appointed as Petersburg's voting delegate to the SEPA board on January 1st, 2010, and has served continuously ever since. Mr. Nelson will be stepping down from the SEPA Board as of December 31st, 2016. On behalf of Petersburg, I'd like to thank Joe for his dedication and knowledge of Petersburg power needs. His efforts are greatly appreciated, and he did mention that he would be more than willing to give advice if needed, so it's nice to have that history there. And I'd like to proclaim a half-day Christmas Eve holiday on December 23rd, 2016 for the borough employees. Thank you for serving the community, and have a happy holiday. And now that brings us to Steve's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Unless anybody has any questions of these pictures, but they're pretty self-explanatory.
Cool.
Sorry, Steve.
No problem. As school lets out for the holiday break, Parks and Rec will be offering more options for drop-in fun at the facilities. Open swims Monday through Friday from 11 to 1. Open gym Monday through Friday, 8 to 7. Dive-in movie on Thursday, the 22nd from 6 to 8. And the bounce houses will be up on the 23rd and the 30th. Anybody interested in going through the lifeguard class during the winter break? Chandra will be teaching a lifeguard class from the 19th through the 21st, 8 to 5. Just call Parks and Rec and she'll set you up. In general, with the holidays, Parks and Rec wanted to extend their very happy holidays to the community, but as a general notice to the community, many of the borough facilities are closed on various days throughout the holidays, so if you have a concern, call that facility and verify their schedule. Don't want you to have to show up and have them not be there. The community center HVAC systems were shutting off frequently during our cold spell. We're working on trying to maintain and fixing the heating coils to keep them in operation. Just an apology to the community on any inconvenience that may cause, and we're still trying to look into ways to prevent that in the future. There's been a kind of a movement to install lights up at the ice skating pond so that the skaters can see better after the sun sets. Great idea. We're looking for more input from the community on how to best make this happen, both financially and appropriately for the long-term benefit of everyone. If you have any ideas or want to talk about it, please send your feedback to Chandra Thornburg at cthornburg@petersburg.gov or call her at Parks and Rec. The ambulance driver program that Sandy put in place has completed training for 3 people. We encourage others to get involved as we continue to need assistance with this vital community service. So far, so good on trying to use drivers in some cases to help supplement. The transmission line relocation project that we had from Power and Light, which is across from Rockies Marine, is almost done. GCI and AP&T still have some work to do. This was a joint effort to remove a down guy and anchor from the adjacent lot for which there was no easement. The borough had put something there, and the property owner plans to build a garage in that location, house and a garage, so we wanted to get our stuff off of their property. The replacement of the 350 kW emergency standby and generator is moving forward. The RFP is out on the genset itself, as well as the step-up transformer. Those are the main 2 major components. Captain Hamilton and Chief Swihart attended the Executive Development Conference in Anchorage. John and Kelly attended the briefings on the SB 91 impacts provided by the Department of Law and met with DPS Deputy Commissioner Cormer and many other chiefs and commanders discussed SB 91. Adjustments are being made to the bill, and many of the components have not actually been implemented at this point. So it's kind of difficult for the police forces to try to figure out exactly what the full impact is going to be long term. One of the things that they did talk about among the other groups is continuing the efforts to have regional drug enforcement efforts. The group did recommit to maintaining the collaborative efforts moving forward to update the bylaws and memorandum of understanding. This is a pass-through federal grant that comes to the state, and it was handled by Sitka, and it's funds for the most part Southeast Drug Task Force. we're trying to make sure that still stays in place, and we've got some work to do, and Kelly's working on that. Hiring process of the police department is ending. We've got three officer positions filled, and one dispatcher position has been filled. We still have one unfilled dispatch position. I believe the majority of the officers will be here after the first of the year. So, the library's annual holiday literary was this past weekend on Saturday. Thanks to Chelsea Tremblay and Sally Reamer for volunteering their time to organize and present this popular library event, which has been running for about 40 years. Working with local Pioneers of Alaska chapter to reprint the Pioneer Profiles, a History of Petersburg Settlers from 1898 to 1959, which is now currently out of print. There's some still technical issues needing resolution, but it's anticipated the book would be available in the spring of 2017. So thanks to the library and everyone who's been involved in that. There's a special holiday wishes display in our children's room in the library in December, created by students from the elementary school. We encourage folks to go check it out. We did have some minor siding damage at elderly housing that required some fixes from the windstorm. Don't have a cost on that yet. It's not a lot, but I'll pass that on once we have the numbers. Thanks to the Rotary Group, residents at both buildings at the Manor had a great time at the Rotary, hosted by the Rotary. And again, just thank you for all the work they do up there to make the holidays a happy time for those folks. With the warmer weather this week and continued snow and rain in the forecast, the streets build ice pretty rapidly and, as everybody knows, can get pretty hazardous. Public Works will be sanding streets as needed, but all motorists are advised to use extreme caution and drive according to the conditions. Public Works staff, in conjunction with wastewater staff, was successful in locating and fixing a leak from a wastewater forced main on Sandy Beach Road a couple weeks back. Weather issues, deep pipe depth, and a shallow bedrock in the area hampered the efforts, but the crews did a great job in addressing the situation. This is the second leak in this same area within a year. We'll be looking at, you know, what may or may not, what it'll cost us if we have to look at a replacement project for this pipe before we keep having other issues. And I think we now have as-builts that this was a state project originally, and they had the line at 8 feet, I think you told me, Carl?
13.
And it was actually how deep? So now, Carl's guys, we have a little more accurate maps, which is part of the problem. P&D Engineers has been given a notice to proceed for the design of the rehabilitation project for the City Creek Dam. Surveying of the spillway surface is hoped to occur soon. And Harbor is encouraging boat owners to lock up their vessels due to some recent reports of vandalism. Harbor does accept spare keys if the owners feel comfortable issuing them one for emergency backup. Reminder to notify the harbor office with dates and names of boat watchers when owners leave town. So that's it. Let's just questions.
Any questions of Steve? All right. Thank you, Steve. On to the next item on the agenda then. It's unfinished business. First item under that is security assignment of lease to First Bank for Good Investments, LLC. And First Bank is requesting a security assignment of lease as collateral for their loan to Good Investments, LLC for the purchase of the building located at 16 Singley Alley. The security assignment provides that in the event of default by Good Investments under the lease or default by Good Investments under the loan documents in favor of First Bank, First Bank will have the option to acquire Good Investments interest under the lease for the unexpired term. And entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Strand to approve this lease assignment. Is there any discussion on the item? Okay. Clerk, call the roll.
Bert?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, the security assignment of lease to First Bank passes unanimously. Next item that was under unfinished business was Entrance Island, Kuprnoff, and Papke Landing, Papke's Landing docks. I guess it's more of a discussion item, or unless someone wants to have some new news of the borough. I don't.
Do we?
There was a letter from Mayor of Kuprnoff, Tom Reinhardt, to DOT again, stating that their interest in taking ownership of the Kuprnoff dock. And we've got till the end of the month before $700,000, or whatever the number was, to give to us to take over all three docks, as that's as long as that opportunity is there. And this is the last meeting before that. So.
Is it worth just going over the numbers really quickly that Glow worked up?
Those docks.
Yeah,
I think, I don't know if we've discussed those in a meeting before, but yeah, just so the people, if there's anybody listening.
So I asked the borough manager if we had any figures on what it would cost for annual maintenance for the three facilities, and Glow had worked up some numbers. And for the Kuprnoff float, for the first year, she's estimating $216,739. For the second year, it would drop down to $16,000 because we would obviously have improved that. And from now until 2021, the total estimate of costs to maintain and upgrade the float is $1.4 million. And then for Entrance Island, which we all had, I think, agreed we weren't interested in, but she gives a first-year estimate of $32,905 with the caveat that we know nothing about the piling situation there. And that float is currently submerged, so I imagine there's some big issues. Second year was $16,525, and through 2021, she's estimated $1.2 million. And then I must have gotten my papers out of order, but here we go. For Papke's Landing, first year $56,597, and the second year, $32,651. Through 2021, her estimate is $1.6 million. So we're talking almost, what, $4 or $5 million for all three through 2021. So just so folks have some numbers in their heads.
Numbers. Any other discussion about the Island, Kuprnoff, or Papke's docks?
Only from the standpoint, I think that, you know, I think it would be good for us to go back with a letter saying that we would support the ADOT working directly with Kuprnoff to take over that dock, you know, because I think in our original letter we said that's what we were going to do. And his other question in that letter was that, well, did you folks intend to give them any money? And I think in our discussion around table, if I can remember, we were going to give whatever, half of whatever we received. I think that was our discussion. I don't think it would hurt at all to go back with a letter saying that we would support them working directly with Kuprnoff.
Yeah, I don't, if we haven't stated that in a communication prior, yeah, I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, it makes sense. It cuts us out as the middle person in those negotiations anyway, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah. Right.
It sounds like from the letter that we got from Luchin at the state, that, or maybe it was in the, I don't know, maybe it wasn't the letter too. I'd have to, I could look at it, I guess, but the conversation, I know he stated that it shouldn't be a problem to get the core permit for the Papke or Kuprnoff one. That's the one that's missing, right? And then to convey the tideland. So that's, you know, in my mind, I don't think the state's going to want to keep those docks. So, you know, it took Sitka 5 or 6 years to work it out. It might have been a little better fiscal times in for the state.
And I would agree with that. I just think that if we could encourage them to work directly with Kuprnoff and proceed from there, that would be good.
Yeah. So, all right, we can draft up a simple letter to Mike Lucian about that then.
Should we do it right and make a motion in a second and then?
Okay.
Okay. I
guess, well, it's, yeah, Maybe we should have had a motion on the floor before we discussed it, but there was no really action to be taken. But yeah, so.
Okay. I would move that we reply to ADOT on their letter. I don't remember the date of it, but back that we would encourage ADOT to work directly with Kuprinoff for the transfer of the Kuprinoff dock to the city of Kuprinoff.
Second. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Motion's been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Strand to send a letter to Mike Lukshin from DOT asking him to work directly with Kuprinoff for the transfer of the Kuprinoff float to the city of Kuprinoff. Discussion on that? That letter was December 5th, his response.
And this would just be our support for conveying the dock to them. The monetary portion will come later. Instead of adding it into the letter.
Negotiated between them.
They would be party to that.
Yep.
I guess the more I think about this, and we've had input from the public that's all over the board, and as much as I want to be responsive to the out-of-service Area 1 folks and to the city of Kuprinoff, I'm really concerned about the long-term cost of maintaining these, you know, structures in a safe condition, and I'm not sure that we can generate the revenue to make them be self-funding. So I'm taking a long, hard look at this, but at this point, I think I would not be in favor of us incurring that debt.
Well, yeah, and then we made our offer back in the statement. We asked for the higher number, 1.2,
and. And knowing that the Harbor Fund isn't even as much as what we had requested, and it isn't enough to cover the needs to bring these up to snuff, to me that's very telling, too. There's not going to be money forthcoming from the state, so not in any significant quantity. So
The feedback I've received so far from the people outside of Service Area 1 related to PAPKEs is that whether we do it or whether the state does it, it's still going to cost money to refurbish that, and that they support us to see that it is money. There is money there to do the job, one way or another. And so, the encouragement I guess I'm hearing from folks is to allow it to proceed to see what negotiation we can do down the road.
And there was a number that was thrown out just in a conversation with Mr. Lukshin that the borough only wanted. If they offered us, for instance, just the PAPKEs facility, the offer would be around $300,000, so half of the, so that 25% of what the engineer said it would cost to fix it. So anyway, I guess we'll just send that letter. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we'll send the letter. New business. Ordinance 2016-14, an ordinance authorizing the sale of Lot A, Block 302, Greenbelt Subdivision, Airport Edition, Parcel 01-006-442, Plat 77-2 in the Petersburg Recording District. I'd entertain a motion to authorize the sale.
So move.
I'll second.
Motion been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Loggadakis. Has to be done by ordinance because it's over $250,000 and under in between $250,000 and $500,000. So, what we're going to do is the second reading and public hearing on this ordinance will occur during the regular meeting at noon on Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. And the third reading of the ordinance will occur at our special assembly meeting immediately following the adjournment of the assembly meeting on that day. So then we'll get all three readings in before the January 17th auction. So, any other discussion on this?
I have a question. If the bidding were to go over by some magic fluke to reach 500,000, do we have to stop the auction and put it to a vote?
Good question.
That's a very good question. And I would say we would probably want to stop it. And I don't know. Well, maybe we need to ask an attorney that question before the auction.
I don't know.
I'm writing that down.
If there's somebody that eager to have it, we should keep going till they stop.
I agree with
you. Yeah, I agree.
we'll see where it ends up.
That's
but that's a good
point.
I never thought of that. I'm not quite that optimistic.
For future auctions.
Right. True. Okay, if there's no other discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2016-14 passes unanimously in its first reading. And now we have a resolution. It's 2016-31. It's a resolution amending Section 7 of Resolutions 2016-23 and Resolution 2016-30. And I'll entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Walhooter, seconded by Member Lynn. And just for the people listening, all this resolution does is it amends the deadline for successful bidders of the land auction to pay the minimum deposit of 5% of the property's total purchase price from within, it changes the wording from 5 calendar days to 5 business days. So, session. Clerk, call the roll.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, the resolution 2016-31 passes unanimously. Next item under new business is 16-362. And we have a completed limited marijuana cultivation facility application notification from the state, and it's SC Movedrug LLC has applied to the state. Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office has given the borough notice that the completed application for a limited marijuana cultivation facility license has been filed by SC Movedrug LLC. The cultivation operation will be located in the Pappy's Landing area. If final approval is granted, the borough assembly has the opportunity to protest the approval of the application or support the approval of the application. So I'd entertain a motion to support this application.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Strand to support the application. Discussion?
Glad to see the first one get done.
Other discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay. Passes the assembly unanimously. Okay, street paving local improvement district concept. And this is presented by Public Works Director, Mr. Hagerman. So I'd entertain a motion, since we have to do things in the positive, to approve this plan.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
A motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Greger. And what this is Carl's presenting us with a plan that would is proposing to offer residential street paving to property owners in neighborhoods that form local improvement districts and are willing to share the cost of the work with their neighbors. So is there any discussion?
Yeah, I apologize to Carl because I meant to come talk to him, but I have about a dozen questions for him on this issue. In the proposal, and I can use any one of the streets that you have in your list, but would that include, let's say, for instance, the substrate isn't up to standard, or are all these up to standard and we're going from there? In other words, what I'm asking is if they agree to it, are they going to be responsible to redo all what's existing and then go to paving from there, or what do you have in mind in that respect?
I thought it was on.
To answer your question, it could depend on which street we're talking about. Some streets have had some work done.
Sorry.
Some streets have had some work done, and they are actually fairly close to being ready. Other streets need more prep work. Really depends on somewhat what the assembly is comfortable with. I'm comfortable with, as Public Works Director, prepping these streets on our at the borough's expense for pavement. This is going to be a substantial expense. Try and get some work done. It makes sense for us to put some money in for the prep and have the residents pick up the cost of the surfacing. But as I said, some streets will have more work, some will have less.
Okay. Let me move to the second one then. Once that's paved, then does Public Works then assume, or the borough reassume, total responsibility for all future work on it?
Yes. Exactly what's going to happen, right? It's really, the LID is formed to facilitate funding of the asphalt paving, but the maintenance responsibility still lies on the borough, still will be Public Works' responsibility in the future.
Does the LID then disappear after that? That other than the fact that it has to be paid off. And let me follow up on that question. Is it, let's say that you have 60%, and I've got a question on it, but let's say you've got 60% approval, but you have some people obviously that are quite reluctant to pay. Does the borough then get a first lien against their property if they won't pay for their portion of the paving?
Yeah, the process, the LID process, does bring that 40% along with the rest of the group. Does create a lien on their property. That payment of funds.
Well, I'll come back. My question was, is all right, so we have each of the property owners then has to pay X amount, and they can do it, as I read in your letter, either over time or right up front, as I read it.
That's true.
Okay. Now, let's say if they decide to do over the time, and then in process they want to sell their house, does the borough still maintain the upfront lien, or does that have to be paid off prior to the time they sell that house?
Code does talk about that, and it says that the responsibility for payment stays with the land. I'd actually given Jody some bad information today because I thought it went with the that whoever buys that property will assume those.
In my thinking of this, Carl, and I like the idea, but I'm thinking that before we go to property owners, there is a whole litany of questions like this that I have in my own mind that I think we need to spell out before we go out and ask them, you know, to participate in one of those, or if they want to participate. That's my only thought in it.
I think it's somewhat of a chicken and egg kind of.
Yeah, I do too.
They'll want to know those answers, but we really won't flesh it out until we know if anybody. Yeah.
Okay, we come out from a side street onto a main drag, and let's say use investor or one of them over there in that area. I believe that the feeder streets aren't paved either. If the land or if the property owners decide they want to pave that one of the side streets, say Vester or one of those, for instance, does that then put them in a higher priority to get the main street paved or the feeder street into them paved?
Well, in that instance, Odin Street is paved already. So.
Okay. There's another one over there. I can't think of it that isn't paved.
Odin Street to Queen is not paved. It's on the western, eastern side of that. To do Queen, pretty much need to bring along the Odin. Have a cul-de-sac street paved, but the street leading to it unpaved. That particular situation, the Odin Street stretch that is not paved, there aren't any homes on that. Would be and. I agree. There's a lot of questions, a lot of wrinkles in this.
Okay. I have some more, but I'll even go with that and see if anybody else has questions in that order.
Any other questions of Carl on this?
I'm really uncomfortable with pitting neighbors against neighbors, especially 60%. You know, I mean, so I'm not fully on board with this idea yet. But what's the breakdown, if you can tell me, on what you guys spend right now in maintaining the potholes on some of these streets that you want to have these people to pay for paving? Is there any way of offsetting some of these costs to these people? Or because, I mean, I really hate to see neighbors, you know, one neighbor on one side doesn't want it, one neighbor on the other side wants it, and then all of a sudden now you've got angry neighbors. And we're kind of forcing them to do this because, you know, they've decided that half a dozen of them want to do it and the other four don't want to do it because they can't afford to do it. You know, I mean, I just really think it's a bad policy that we're forcing people to do stuff against their will. So when all of us, or most of us, got it for free, you know, I mean, I have to bring that up. I mean, I got a nice paved road and a nice sidewalk in front of my house. And it didn't increase my property value, anything that I know of. And I don't see where putting a paved road in front of somebody's house is going to generate any money for them, basically, you know. So I don't know. At this point, I'm not fully on board. But if you could give me that breakdown, Carl.
Well, I don't have that breakdown. Trailing. I don't have that breakdown. It's a very hard number to come up with. Yeah. You know, for a pothole, what it costs the borough to maintain a road. But just the paving that we did around town, 8th Street, that street was breaking up terribly. Quality of life. Dramatically, people not only smooth ride, but no potholes, no dust. And there are people in town that really, really want that. That's why this is coming up for me. Is I hate to see that plant, asphalt plant, leaving town without some opportunity provided to residents that want it. And I totally see what you're saying about. Want it, and there are people that are on the fence, and there are people that have no interest. Those folks, the people that have no interest, get brought along with the 60% of the neighbors. They're not going to be happy. That's a fact. But they will benefit from the road, and they will enjoy that.
I was curious to know how you determine the payback period.
Well, that is something that is essentially up to the assembly.
Okay.
We can suggest different terms and conditions, but the assembly sets the terms and conditions for payback.
So potentially it could be stretched out to a point where it wouldn't be a substantial financial burden. And to flip, to kind of get at the same question that Kurt was asking, but ask it in a different way is, will there be any savings to the borough if these streets were paved?
Absolutely, yeah. It's just hard to put a figure on.
Mm-hmm.
Less greater time is less very expensive piece of equipment. If we had all of our roads paved, we wouldn't need that piece of equipment. Potholes, we do that a fair amount of time.
Well, and I think anybody who lived in the downtown area when the construction was going on could attest to the clouds of dust that were all over everything when things got really dry. So I can see where folks would be pretty enthusiastic.
Excuse me. There's still a lot of residents that live with the dust clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions or comments on this idea?
I'm in favor of this. I think it's a great idea. I think that people are going to have to pay for it, even if the borough did it. And those 60% who might not want it, are they going to want it next year when it's on the borough's bill and we have to do a bond issue? I think that they're not going to save that much money.
Just a question for Carl. Maybe it's the obvious question, but given the feedback you've received from the Assembly on this, in your mind, for the listeners at home, if you could boil it into a couple of sentences, why do you think this is a good idea for Petersburg to move forward with this project?
Well, I think it's an opportunity. There's at least an offer to the public. It's quite possible that no neighborhood is going to be interested. Absolutely. Don't know unless we ask. And there may be a couple of they'll take the petitions around and get the signatures. I guess I'm looking at it as an opportunity that could be wasted.
Thank you.
I know what the other, from the legal perspective, does that have to be a formal vote of that group of people in order, or could it be a letter? I'm asking because if we have to go back at some point, you know, to pick up the tab, so to speak, what do we have to do from a legal standpoint?
The municipal code lays it out pretty clearly. There's a petition process where we need 60% of the neighborhood to say yes, we want to do this. And then there's an information gathering and a tentative assessment provided to those, to the neighborhood, and a public hearing after that. And then following the public hearing, there is a formal ballot process where we, again, need to have at least 60% of the neighborhood say yes. At that point, budgeting occurs and the borough schedules the project. So there is a formal balloting process, and we'll know how everybody in the neighborhood stands.
Thank you.
Well, I've got a couple concerns. I think I think along the same lines as Member Wallhuter about the 60-40. If 60% of the people want it in the neighborhood and the other 40 can't afford it, then they're forced, you know what I mean, forced into coming up with a payment in some fashion. I mean, maybe some people have purchased the property they have and, you know, did their budgeting and that's what they can afford. I don't know what the cost would be, but I know paving's not cheap, and I could. And there would be a cost to the borough to, it sounds like that would be your plan to get the utilities up to standard, right?
Or the road surface is what I was talking about. The utilities on most of these streets are in decent shape. The ones that aren't questionable, they're actually on the side of the road, so we could do work on the side of the road. But I was speaking mostly about the surface.
Okay, so just subgrade and then put the D1 down ready for paving. And then just the time that's going to be required by somebody to administer this. Is that going to be the Public Works Department that would?
I'm willing to step forward and do a lot of the carrying the water on this. I will need some assistance. Potentially a lot of work. If every neighborhood on the list says, yeah, we're in. Wow, it's a lot of work. I really have no expectations that's going to happen. I really don't.
So what you're asking for is if we approve this today, then it's actually a process that's going to be implemented, and then neighborhoods can say, yeah, and then we're kind of committed to follow through on it. I mean, without a dollar value on it, kind of, you know, I like the idea. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to live on a road where it is paved, and I know friends that don't, and you know, it's nice, but it's the affordability thing that I'm kind of hung up on.
I have done some really preliminary number crunching based on what we paid last year and the dimensions of the road. And it comes out to about on an 80-foot frontage. Price, the assessment is based on dollars per foot of frontage. So for an 80-foot frontage, it's between anywhere between $2,200 and per property owner. And it just varies depending on the size of the project, you know, how many lots there are on the road, that kind of thing. That amount of money is significant to a lot of people. But with the ability to spread it out over time, it becomes much more affordable.
So to pay for it up front, if we had to give them a 10-year term or whatever, the borough would pick it up, and then you'd figure the interest that they would have to pay to get the total payment back, correct?
Right, and that's another term that the assembly would have to pay.
So what, if we had to pay for it up front, where would that funding come from?
The only fund that I'm aware of is the general fund. every street that I've put on this list is funded. It's about
$600,000. Bob?
Yeah. Let's say you only have one neighborhood that's willing to do it. Would CCON come in here for one street?
I believe they would. Yeah, I've spoken to them about their plans, and plants here, they're willing to put it to work.
So then, but their upfront costs would be higher because you only have one unit, so to speak.
That's true. It becomes a more difficult proposition for them to bring in a small amount.
Any other questions?
So, Carl, you're saying between $2,200 and $3,800 for an 80-foot frontage?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw a ballpark figure out there between $30 and $35 a lineal foot. So if you have a larger lot, it's going to be approximately that. Okay, just ballpark. You know, I mean, don't take that to the bank, but just rough estimate. So.
All really rough numbers.
Yeah. So you need us to commit ourselves to fully funding this thing and going forward with this, or is there some other way that we could just go out and explore and see if what sort of feedback we get from the neighbors? Because I'd be more than willing to let you go out and ask them, you know, what they think about this without actually committing our funds, or, you know, by saying if we do get some agreement, then we're going to go forward with this. I'd rather readdress this again once we find out what the neighbors think. Or what the, you know, so.
You're absolutely right, and I'm not asking you to commit to any dollar amounts tonight. That in the process that occurs after the balloting comes in, and we know for certain that we have a project, then we fine tune the number of what it's going to cost. At that point, according to the code, the assembly still has the opportunity.
Well, and we would need to adjust our budget to be able to account for it, so there still would be another vote on it.
So I'm comfortable with that idea myself, not now. So.
But I would think, Kurt, though, that once if we go ahead and somebody wants to do it, I think we're somewhat committed then to follow through.
Well, I think there'll be another public hearing, and then we'll be able to hear what they have to say, and we don't have to commit to any dollars, or we don't have to commit to the project starting. With what if I understand Carl right now, is that this is just kind of an exploratory permission. We're giving him permission to go out and see, you know, what the feeling is out there for this kind of an idea. So, because like I don't, you know.
The code does absolutely allow the assembly to say, we can't follow through with this. Financial situation is not that great right now. Box, but it's an idea that the opportunity to say,
okay, do you have another?
No, just a point of clarification. Carl, correct me if I'm wrong. This is responding to Kurt. It sounds like this is more than just an exploratory thing. You want to carry this, go for it, and as part of the process, if we want to, we have the ability to get out later on. But you're asking us to move forward with this right now, correct?
I am.
Yeah, okay.
But it can be couched as an exploratory because have enough interest to move forward to the ultimate.
Roger, thank you.
So in the reaching out to the public and the neighborhoods, or whatever, for lack of a proper term, 60% of the people have to ask you to move forward in some kind of a petition.
There's a petition that will be provided to the neighborhoods, probably in each letter that go out. And copy of that to come back with 60% of the property owners on that neighborhood process to go forward for that neighborhood. So if we don't get a petition back, we'll have to set a deadline. If we don't get any petitions back by the deadline,
so. What kind of a time frame? It seems like that's something we should have before we say to move forward would be, by July or whatever the wish is. You know, I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, apologize. I wanted to throw this concept at the assembly and see if there was any support. If you are supportive and want to move forward, there will be a resolution at the next meeting about the time frame of the plan.
Well, like I said earlier, I think it'd be a wonderful idea if all the streets were paved. It's, especially in the future, well, it's quality of life, and in the future, I can see the cost of the borough being less to maintain the roads. Nancy?
Well, the time frame depends on how long SECON's going to leave their asphalt plant here. If they decide they need it somewhere else in July, they won't be bringing it back here to store it in our gravel pit, will they, if they take it out? You wouldn't think.
So this is kind of going to be put on a fast track because of that situation.
Somewhat. Understanding that they're in this situation, there probably isn't a fast track.
For this summer's paving. For this summer,
yes,
to do the work. Any other thoughts on this?
I think we'll find that we'll get a response from these neighbors, these neighborhoods, within weeks, within a couple of weeks, 3 weeks.
I think it'll happen right away. And if it does, that's great. You know, if the assembly has a good feeling one way or another, if it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down, then you just decline to pass the resolution and we're done.
Right.
So you would reach out to the neighborhoods between now and January 3rd, or next meeting?
I'll draft the resolution.
Right.
Well, I don't know how many people in the public have heard about this. It'd be nice if I've heard on the radio today, but I don't know if it'll be in the paper. A lot of people don't read the paper or listen to the radio. So, would it be difficult to send out something in the monthly billing to get an idea, or?
Well, sorry, Mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be getting, all these residents be getting petitions in the mail? Would they be getting petitions mailed to them, or how is it like? So they'll be getting it.
It would be a letter explaining the process and the opportunity. And a copy of the petition.
Understood. Thank you.
On these named streets that you're proposing, then a anybody else, any other neighborhood thinks it's a good idea, then they could jump on board as well.
Good, yes.
Sure.
And those letters would go out after the resolution? Right. Okay, so that's our timeline. Then we have another couple of weeks. So, okay.
If there's no other discussion, clerk call the roll.
Bob?
Yeah.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
In concept, yes.
When we start talking dollars and cents and come to the reality of it, we'll see how it goes. Get back on track here. Next item is E, number 16-364. It's pump station 1 and 4th main upgrade, phase 2, and it's a change order. I'd entertain a motion to support this.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Strand to approve this change order. Are there any questions? I have a question of Chris. I read through this, Chris. So this is basically doing the project. The design was a little bit different. It had to do extra work. So this is to pay for that work?
Yeah. Essentially, that's... That's right.
And then I guess I have one other question. Would this money come from the wastewater department fund, and is that money there? Or?
Actually, this 70% of this will be paid by the grant.
Okay.
So ultimately, the wastewater department would be paying back that 30%.
And that wouldn't relate to any kind of utility increases or anything?
No. This is something that we built into our capital plan that was utilized.
Other questions? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And I guess I should pass unanimously. I should put a dollar figure on there for people out in the audience. This is going to be 38,000 more, Chris? What's the figure?
Yep.
Or is it the 47?
Yeah, 38.
Okay, so this change order will cost $38,730.60. That earlier on, but next item is approval to extend an invitation to the Board of Fisheries and Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association to hold meetings in Petersburg in 2017. I'd entertain a motion to send those invitations.
I so move.
Second.
Moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Walhooter to send letters of invitation to these two entities. I think this, you know, it's always a good idea to invite people, you know, down. It's good for the economy. And I think this was, Cindy had a conversation with Bob Martin at the airport in Kent.
Bob Martin and with John both.
My brother John, who are on these.
And one of the reasons that we talked about, particularly the Board of Fisheries, doing this now is that it's a number of people and it would require some planning for logistics for housing and for food. So we want to give people time if they sound like they're interested.
And I don't know how long. I think there can be, you know, generally the Southeast meetings, I believe, are like 4 or 5 days or something like that. But I know the one that my brother's going to go to here shortly is 17 days long in Anchorage. So that would be kind of unrealistic. So, but Southeast issues aren't as big as the, you know, they're going to have in Anchorage, I believe. So, Bob, you had a comment?
Oh, just a question. Was there a reason that you didn't include the Board of Game?
I don't.
Just wasn't suggested. I have no objection to it.
I don't know what their schedule is on their meetings. Or
they have at least two a year, and one of them, while it's in Anchorage, but the other roves around that I'm aware of, and it's 4 or 5 days long when it's at seasons and stuff.
I would be comfortable amending the motion to add Board of Game.
Yeah, and we could also do it then for asking for any future year, you know, if they want to, but we'd be in favor of it, yeah.
Yeah, so any other discussion on this idea? So we're going to amend that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
The manager is waving at
you. Oh.
If I could, just a general comment. These are wonderful. We'd love to have folks come to town. The two conferences we just did this past summer just about killed us. I mean, the chamber jumped in at the last minute, but they really didn't have the resources to help. This all fell on borough staff, and there was a cost associated with that to get those done. So if we go forward with this based on the size of these, you know, we're going to be coming back to you saying we either need to hire someone to help us, you know, on a contract basis to help us do these things. We can't keep doing it with staff. We've got to get some things done that we put off for these conferences to add three more conferences potentially to the list. We'll be something we're not sure we can handle. So again, great for the local businesses, but there's a huge cost on the borough admin side to, you know, find food, find lodging, and all the things that go along with that, including the technology. We found ourselves having to become IT people to set up those two because no one in the groups had that expertise.
Right. I know the Board of Fish brings their own communication system because they have to be pretty on point with, you know, the recordings and everything. So
And I guess our intention was that we would put together a committee, not necessarily entirely lean on borough staff. Other communities and Petersburg as well have used this as an opportunity for nonprofits to do fundraiser dinners. And I don't think that the borough staff should be coordinating that. You know, that's certainly something that maybe Rotary and Chamber and private individuals or business owners would be willing to help plan, because it will bring revenue to them and to the community.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. We just found ourselves way overwhelmed with Southeast Conference and the, you know, the back-to-back thing with Southeast Conference and the ARPA Parks and Rec thing. So, thank you.
Busy month.
I remember going to one of the Board of Fish meetings down at the Sons of Norway Hall, and you know, the community involvement was tremendous, and you know, I was able to attend every day, and so, you know, we could get more informed. So I think it's important that we, if we have Southeast issues, which I'm not sure where the cycle is yet, if it is going to be for Southeast, you know, I think it's important that we have it more centralized so that people can come here instead of having to go to Anchorage to. So I would be all in favor of this.
I think we should specify maybe that, and that would be the only reason they would come to Southeast, is to handle Southeast issues. That would
mm-hmm.
be. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's next year again or not. So,
okay. Yeah, I was sorry. I came unprepared. I was really going to look this up today and see where the cycle was. But, so anyway,
yeah, I could have.
The concept is good.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess we'll reach out to those three. What comes of it? Communications. We just have the. What was the letter?
Mark, were you going to ask? Make sure everybody was on board.
Yeah, is everybody on board? Everybody in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
I thought it, okay. A lot of head nodding, so it was a good idea. But okay, any communications? We mentioned the letter from Kuprinoff City Mayor, and we acted on that, so I don't have any other communications. Anybody else? Assembly discussion items, is there any recognitions? I already recognized Joe and the mayor's report. Anybody have any recognitions?
The only thing I would add is I want to thank the people who are wearing reflective clothing in these dark days. And also, and this is my axe that I keep grinding, folks that are not using their phones while they're driving. Somebody nearly hit me the other night near the hospital. And judging from the time they sat there after I hollered and walked past the intersection, I think they really weren't paying attention and were pretty shocked that somebody was in front of their car. And I was wearing a light coat, so, and was right under a street light, so it was pretty visible. But there are a number of folks out there walking their dogs, and I've seen coats with reflective patches on it. It makes it a ton easier, especially when there's snow on the ground and people are walking in the street. So I really appreciate folks that are taking the effort to do that.
Don't text and drive.
No.
Okay, there was one item here, Alaska Legislative Session 2017. I think Assemblymember Lynn had a list of things that he thought we should talk about.
Yes. What brought this to my attention was is a conference call I had with the Policy Committee of AML, and that I won't go through all the details, but a number of the communities, including Anchorage, Fairbanks, Wasilla, and there's a bunch of others, have been working through their legislative bodies looking at, since there's no money available essentially for any kind of capital projects, they were looking at what particular legislative fixes or changes in legislation or other things that they wanted to support their, and they wanted to go forward with either with their lobbyists and with their legislators. The couple of them that really came home to me, one is that I think we need to go forward again with a letter in support of the governor's, whether we go with the governor's proposal, but resolution of the fix, some kind of a fix, so that we have some sustainable budget in the state. And I think we need to resurrect our letter from my perspective, and maybe redo it and send it again from us, saying that we support a sustainable budget and a fix associated with it, similar to the one we did last year. That's one of the items. The next one that we were talking about was, I think I have SB 95 on here, but it was 91, I believe, and I think Steve talked a little bit about it, but I know Anchorage and Wasilla are coming forward with changes they want to see in SB 91 in the legislation, because obviously they believe that parts of it aren't, you know, really implementable, and it doesn't meet the needs of some of the smaller communities. And my only point here is that if there are some things that we really can't live with and so forth, I think it'd behoove us to, you know, put together a letter that we would go forward with both our legislators, that we'd say these are changes we would like to see made, and we send it also to our lobbyists at the same time, you know. I do know that there are strong feelings amongst those other communities of changes they want to see in it. And those were two that really came forward. The other one was the school bond debt. Is that particularly it was Fairbanks, and there was a couple smaller ones, communities, which I can't remember the names of off the top of my head, but they were looking that, since that was a previous commitment on that school bond debt, and not that should not be passed back to the local communities, whether we'd want to take that kind of a position or not, I'm not saying, but that in some of the communities, that has a major hurt. You know, ours was over $100,000, and it does hurt, but nothing to the extent of some of these others. And my reason for putting it on there is that, some of these ideas that they came forward with made a lot of sense. And what I was thinking of is, and maybe since Steve talked about, for instance, SB 91 and maybe some of the others, there's some of these we probably want to go forward with our legislators. And I just leave it open for discussion here.
Yeah, I've got no problem with sending a letter asking for the legislature to try to come up with a sustainable budget. From what I understand from the underlying discussion so far, we're going to be lucky if they come up with anything again this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Unfortunately. So I think we have to be kind of careful of what concepts we support if it steps on someone else's toes.
Yes.
You know, so we have to.
I agree, Mark. It'd be very generic that we want a sustainable type of a budget resolution, so to speak, and not tie hands, so to speak.
With the exception of the statewide sales tax, and that keeps rearing its ugly head, yeah. And we said no the last time, and it continues to be a part of the discussion, and I think we really need to stress that that hurts the communities that already have sales taxes, and we are one of those communities.
I agree with you, Cindy.
I agree. So what do we want to do? How do we want to proceed? Look at our last year's letter and modify it?
Yeah. That's what I would agree with that, yeah. So and I agree with Cindy's comment.
So we need to get that drafted. It'd be nice to send it off before the legislative session, which is between our starts, right? 15th of January or something? I can't remember what we sent in the last letter. So would you, Bob, would you be willing to help kind of put some wording changes so it's something we could look at next meeting?
For the next, sure.
Maybe tweak it a little bit and send it?
Yes.
Does that work for the administration? That would be?
Yes.
Okay. But you nodded your head. Good. Okay. Any other discussion on this? Okay.
Sounds like we'll be. Just to add on the SB 91. Kelly will be working on that as part of the meeting they had. They're trying to flesh that out across the state right now. Some of it's the messaging problem in the sense that the state is saying, Department of Law is saying, give us some time because only a third of this has even been implemented yet. The problem is most of the communities are saying, well, the third you've implemented we don't like. So what's the rest of the two-thirds going to be? I'm not sure we're going to get really definitive things to change simply because the state's now going backpedaling and changing some things on the fly. I'll talk to Kelly about it, and you know he'll be at the next meeting and may have more detail on what are the things they're talking about changing, what are the things they're talking about that they haven't implemented yet, and how does that impact us. But that one may take a little more working with before we give you a straight answer, unfortunately.
I think there's a lot of people disappointed with the effects that bill has had on their community so far, and I have to agree with them. So, if there's no other city discussion items or recognition, Nancy?
I think we should support re-implementing the state income tax, especially if we're going to mention not supporting a state sales tax, because Anchorage is pushing for a sales tax. They don't want, they don't have a sales tax, so it's a subject that they can always bring up, and it doesn't hurt them any.
I can't remember if we specifically asked for that in our last letter or not, and maybe at one point I think we asked for if they're going to implement these taxes. Well, we would rather have income tax than a sales tax. Yeah,
right.
I think we already said that. So it might already be in there, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we'll take a look.
Hey, is there a one-size-fits-all? I mean, does it have to be one or the other? Or can it be, you know, depending on the community's wishes, you know? As long as the monetary is you know, equitable on what we're participating in. So,
but I think
it has to be one or the other, it sounds like.
It sounds like if they do a sales tax, it's going to be kind of complicated because, if I remember right, the state collects all the sales tax and then they send it to the boroughs. How long is that taking? Do you have to monitor, check their numbers or their bookkeeping? Sales taxing could be a mess. Mm-hmm.
We wrestled this, Kurt, as part of that policy. And the part of it is that you have a number of the major communities Anchorage doesn't have and so forth. And so if they implement them, and a sales tax. So theirs is less. Ours would be much more. And it's the point Mark was trying to make earlier to me was how do we keep the equality there so that we're all paying somewhat equally? And we wrestled that for a long time, and we couldn't come up with any kind of a reasonable way to approach that, you know, from a state policy perspective.
Yeah, Steve and I had a little conversation about this when we were up at AML over lunch one day, and, you know, just looking at Anchorage and knowing how busy it is in the summertime with tourism, they wouldn't have to charge much of a sales tax to generate enough money to help fulfill their needs, where our position is totally different. Anyway, we'll look at the letter that gets drafted up and we'll discuss it again. So I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hope my son.